When Margaret Dunbar Cutright was 9 or 10 years old, her grandmother told her a story about her grandfather, Bobby Dunbar, when he was 4 years old growing up in Opelousas.
The story that I was told was that my grandfather had gone on a camping trip with his parents, Leslie and Percy Dunbar, and his brother and some other family and friends, and he had wandered away from the fishing party, and a search ensued within 15 minutes. And it was presumed that he had been kidnapped.
Over the fall of 1912 and the winter and spring of 1913,
co-author Tal McThenia,
police in various places stopped and questioned numerous men that were seen traveling with young boys that witnesses suspected perhaps was Bobby Dunbar. And all of those men were eventually released. Eventually, that process sort of created in the public's mind a profile of the kidnapper. And in April 1913, when citizens of Marion County, Mississippi, grew suspicious of William Walters, a wandering handyman with another boy, that profile fit him to a T, a sort of hobbling old man with a child wandering around the country.
William Walters was detained in Columbia, Mississippi, the Marion County seat. The Dunbars came to town, and after some hesitation, finally claimed the boy as their son, Bobby. "Not so fast," said William Walters. "This boy's name is Bruce Anderson, son of Julia Anderson from North Carolina."
Julia Anderson did come forward and claim Bruce to be her son. So two mothers claimed one child.
William Walters was charged with kidnapping and the case sensationalized by newspapers all over the country, including the four dailies then operating in nearby New Orleans.
In particular, the two afternoon dailies, the Item and the Daily States, they were sort of the more tabloid of the four New Orleans, English-speaking New Orleans newspapers. And they were locked in a tabloid war, and the Dunbar case and the Walters kidnapping case really became fodder for their war. The reporters would do anything to one up the competition, including faking interviews with key players, actually trying to alter the outcome of the trial with false evidence and false testimony, bringing forward witnesses who they knew to be untrustworthy. They really did it all.
Walters was found guilty of kidnapping, though his conviction was overturned on appeal on a legal technicality. Julia Anderson's claim that the boy was her son Bruce was denied, and the youngster grew up as Bobby Dunbar. It was 1999 when Margaret Dunbar Cutright, granddaughter of Bobby Dunbar, daughter of Bobby Dunbar Jr., began to look into the case.
I was visiting with my father, and he handed me a copy of what we call my grandmother's scrapbook that contained about 400 newspaper articles concerning the kidnapping and some photographs and telegrams and letters and that kind of thing.
Intrigued, Margaret Cutright dug deeper.
I went to the internet and Googled Bobby Dunbar and came across only two things. One was a song that had been recorded in 1927, The Mystery of the Dunbar Child.
In the month of August, in the year of 1912, the kidnapping of the Dunbar Child, that was a mystery.
Second and most important was a genealogical website by a great-granddaughter of the other mother, Julia Anderson. And the little note that she had on there said that Julia had a son named Bruce, and that when he was 6 years old, he was kidnapped by some people from Louisiana who won him in court and changed his name to Bobby Dunbar.
And that information put Margaret Dunbar Cutright on the path to solving much of the mystery of Bobby Dunbar and telling the tale very well, with co-author Tal McThenia in A Case for Solomon, Bobby Dunbar and the Kidnapping That Haunted a Nation. For 89.9 WWNO, I'm Fred Kasten.